Hey, before we get to the episode, I want to tell you about another show that I think you'll like, and it's recorded using Squadcast. I'm Jeff De La Rosa, and I'm the host and creator of The Culture Podcast. It's a hip-hop-centric show with social commentary, cultural allegory, witty references, interesting guests, and plenty of raw laughter. We tackle social issues like racism, current events, and entertainment, all from the perspective of an Afro-Latino duo. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts and at our website, theculture.one. Okay, now let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the Squadcast Podcast. I'm Jay.
And I'm James.
And we're the co-hosts of Crossed Wires.
Squadcast is a cloud recording studio that empowers creators to record audio and video in studio quality with anyone, anywhere, and at any time. You can learn more about Squadcast and start a free trial at squadcast.fm.
On the Squadcast Podcast, you'll hear discussions about the podcast and creator industries. You'll hear updates from the Squadcast team. You'll get podcast recommendations, creator tips, and so much more. The Squadcast team also loves to show off the creators who use Squadcast to record their shows. So from time to time, you'll hear feed drops from other podcasts.
Today's one of those episodes. In just a moment, you'll hear an episode of our podcast, Cross Wires. On the episode we've selected, you'll hear us chat with a wonderful Drew Ackerman of the Sleep With Me podcast about how tech can both help and hinder good sleep.
Okay, let's get to this episode of Crossed Wires. Well, hi, everyone, and welcome back to Crossed Wires. Well, I'm Jay, and this is my first time in the host seat, but I want to also say I am joined by James. Hey, James, how are you? Hey, James, wake up.
Well, I think I drifted off. What are we talking about again? Oh, hi, Jay. Hang on. Didn't tell me we were recording a podcast. What's going on here?
Well, you know me. I am very impulsive and stuff like that.
I won't deny we had that planned since last night.
Yeah. Foreshadowing.
Yes, foreshadowing. And today we are joined by Drew Ackerman or Dearest Scooter from the podcast Sleep With Me. Hey, Drew, how are you today?
Good afternoon or good evening, wherever you are. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So one thing that I think that always gets a chuckle whenever I tell people about your podcast, I'm always like, hey, this is the podcast, Sleep With Me podcast. And I'm like, it's a podcast to help you fall asleep. Whenever I tell people about it, they listen to the episode, they're like, it really does help me fall asleep. So can you explain a little bit more about what your podcast is?
Sure. And I can relate to you telling people, because even when I tell people about my podcast, I get a blank look on their face and they just take two steps backwards. So, but I make a podcast called Sleep With Me. And the concept is that it's bedtime stories for grownups, which is just kind of a way to describe it because I don't know how else to describe it. But I've been making it since 2013. And when I first started it, it was out of curiosity of like, hey, how come there isn't something like when you call a friend and you're like, hey, just tell me about your day. I'm not going to listen to you, but just tell me all the details about your day. Feel free to go on and on and on. And I'll put you on speakerphone and I'm going to fall asleep. That's more of what the show is like. It's like a friend to keep you company while you fall asleep. It's very strange and quirky, I would say, is a polite way to describe it. So it's not everyone's cup of tea. But if you're looking for something like that, it's there to help.
Now, I have one question before we jump too far in, because I've somehow now got this image in my head of that Friends episode where Joey's trying to stop smoke. Is it No, Chandler's trying to stop smoking. And he gets you're a strong, confident woman. You don't need to smoke. I've just got an image now of Drew having that impact on people.
Yeah, but I think that's like how I came up with the idea was like, I've struggled with sleep my whole life. And I started listening to different audios like and be like, oh, this is supposed to help you fall asleep. A guided walk through the woods or a discovery of your spirit animal under the sea. And it always was too serious and just too straightforward. And it was like too calming. I'm like, I'm not a person that's calmed down. I need to be tricked into calming down.
I can absolutely get like I can say it works. Like I will like just start listening and all of a sudden I will sometimes fall asleep before I even get to the main point of like of each of the episodes. But it's also like it helps me forget about whatever's going on in my life. Like sometimes I will just start like laughing. And one thing that I'm always impressed at is you take so much pain to make sure that you don't talk about things that are too distressing, that you don't talk about, you don't get people riled up, that you're really good at making it calming. And it really does feel like a friend is listening. Like almost in a way, I feel like I know you more than I probably do know you, but it feels like I know you because I've fallen asleep with you all this time.
Like the two people that edit my show, they both have separately told me, they're like, I know you better than anyone in my entire life. Like even my partner, like I know everything about you. I know it's like too much almost.
Yes. And I love how like you will just like meander into thoughts and all that. And just like, it is just so, so calming. And it's kind of interesting because one thing with technology is technology has a way to keep us awake, keep us riled up, keep us not focused. I actually need to get back into a better sleep schedule again. I've been going in and out of sleep schedules with a changing work schedule, and having that time where I need something. I can't do silence. If there's silence, I almost go wild with like all these thoughts in my head. I mean, I can stay up, whereas having something just to listen to that I don't really have to engage in, but yet I'm still engaged, is so powerful.
Yeah, it's definitely a balance. I mean, I need that distraction even during the day. And it is like trying to find something that's not going to hook your attention, but distracts whatever those low-level noises or thoughts are in my brain. Like even during the workday, it's like I'll try to find a YouTube channel where Las Vegas hotel reviews. And I'm like, I'll try this. And then, oh, no, it's too interesting. I got to turn it off. Or, oh, that's perfect. It's like, oh, they're talking about everything. They're going through the buffet. And some people are watching that in a riveting way. But for me, it's more of like having a presence, kind of like you're talking about. And at bedtime, I think it takes an extra step into the background. It works better. But even I find it even during the day. And that's probably a positive use of technology. Maybe. I don't know. There's probably people out there who'd be like, oh, no, it isn't. Like,
well, it's funny you mention that because I, you know, during the day when a particular moment I'm not working and when there's, you know, lots going on, I might be, you know, putting something together and maybe just off to the side or, you know, another browser window, somehow been getting into Australia Border Force, which is one of the best documentary series. If you've never watched it, I encourage you to watch it because it's always funny. I like those sort of exaggerated, because of course it is, exaggerated shows. Hey, we're going to show you inside this government function. You know, you'll have things like that. Or here in the UK, we've got police interceptors, which is usually like the traffic stuff. And you just thinking, no, fail to stop. Sorry, I'm getting far too into this. But again, it's having that in the background. You know, I might be writing up some documentation for something or, you know, planning a few episodes. I guess a question I have for you, Drew, from my point of view is, I know that I find at night, as you sort of both hinted at, sometimes you need that distraction and I will have my TV on and I will put an episode of something like, you know, say something I actually enjoy. But I'm also realizing I'm falling asleep during those, but sometimes I'm finding, oh no, I'm staring. I'm waking up a little bit when, you know, maybe a line that I know will come on. And that's not helping my sleep, is it? If I'm in that half awake, oh, I just heard the line I like state.
It's different for everybody, but I think with the TV, which is something that inspired sleep with me, was like being in one room and listening to my parents watch TV and hearing that through the walls. But if the TV's in the same room, what I find is something similar, like either the changing of the light or the changing of the volume or the tone can wake me up. Or it's like, oh, this is something familiar. I remember this episode. And then it catches my attention and wakes me back up. It probably doesn't allow you to get into as deep a sleep as you need.
Because like, that's one thing that like you focus really well on, that monotone voice, at staying calm. And Even like when you're getting excited, you have a way of just letting it roll. And like, you're not just talking about like random topics. Sometimes you talk about like Doctor Who episodes, Star Trek episodes. You talk about, I think you reviewed the Home Alone movie, if I remember right, during Christmas. And you, stuff you're interested in, but the way you talk about it, I don't need to be engaged, but I'm still interested.
Yeah, it is a challenge. And it's like, that's what I like. It's like, oh, how can I make this sleepy, or can I make it sleepy? But then at the same time, one of the keys for sleep with me is like keeping the episodes coming out in a variety of ways, because what might wake somebody up, then I can have the next episode come out and they're like, oh, I didn't like that episode, but I liked this one.
I didn't even think about that. That is actually some really good planning. Because, yeah, I will, like, I'll have your podcast on for, like, 2 hours at a time, just in going through a couple episodes. And one thing that I think you helped me see was the presence of, like, smart speakers. Like the Madam Amazon device, and how I can set up a routine to have her turn off all my lights, do everything, but also start the podcast, and just how you don't have to think about it being there. It's just there.
Yeah. I mean, that's another, it's funny because I think about the first time I saw that device way back when they only had the big tube and it was in somebody's house. And I was like, and I thought about the science fiction I had read of like having voice assistants and how quickly we adapted to it, where now it's everywhere and it's very useful. I mean, I use mine like all the time for simple stuff and for alarms. We've exchanged a lot of emails about the routine stuff. And then of course there's like, when they make a change, like I used to use it for watching television and stuff, but they changed one of the things. And then I'm like, oh, I don't want to sit down for a half hour and try to figure this out. It's so useful. And it is another good thing with sleep, when they talk about having devices with screens and what do you bring into your bedroom, or just people that don't use smartphones on a regular basis are less comfortable if there's a technological hurdle for them, especially at the price point. I mean, those things are about $29, $19. Like, it's an entry point that does have some ease of use. It can be difficult as well, but they're getting easier and easier to use.
I think I was encouraging my grandmother to get one, and I think they almost got her one for that very reason.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you try to tell someone that has no interest, you should listen to podcasts. Well, oh, what's a podcast? Okay, let me tell you. Okay, then you got to download this app. And then, why would I want to do that? And it's like, well, where do you listen to music? On radio. Okay. It's like, okay, just tell that lady that lives in the speaker to play this and it'll work. Like, it's much quicker.
Absolutely. I mean, I know, you know, I have a HomePod mini. Yes, a bit more. I think they are, what, $90, something like $99. So they are a bit more pricey. Obviously, I will always say they are a better option from a privacy standpoint, but that's a whole different episode. But I love that concept. Now, you know, I got my parents one last Christmas. Yeah, we got one last Christmas. Now, it's in my lounge, so they don't have it. Now, my dad has, you know, we talk about things that go into a bedroom with you. My dad has always had a golden rule, at least for him and mum. I mean, I had, when I was growing up, but no TVs in bedrooms for them. He does take his phone to bed, but only for alarms. In fact, I think actually for a while he was using his iPad for an alarm, so his phone didn't go with him to the bedroom. Whereas I know, you know, living in a smallish flat, I do have all my devices in here because, you know, to break the illusion for, well, no one, I was going to say for the listeners watching, the listeners will only see this in the squad shop, but literally just over there is my bed and my sort of shelving unit, which where my TV and everything is. So it's the same room. I guess maybe that's the question. What can people do to make it, if they have nowhere else to leave the phones, or if they might be, say, on call, what are some measures they can take to avoid the distraction of the phone, even if it has to come into the room?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a couple settings. Another thing you should purchase is a gaffer's tape. Because you can put it over, there's some devices that you can turn the LEDs off, they're always on, and some you can't. And putting gaffer's tape over them has made a huge difference in getting your bedroom darker, because those lights do, once you get used to a dark room, I have my room as pitch black as possible, it makes a big difference. But then there's settings, like on the iPhone, it has the kind of night shift that changes the light, but it also has like different types of do not disturbs that you could customize. And I do find that makes a big difference, because getting an email and just having your phone buzz at 2 a.m. is going to wake you up, and then it's going to be irritating. That's just a mode that I found that, like, it was so obvious, and it was like, oh, why did this take so long? But I think trying to reduce the light, the passive light from the devices, is also an important thing that's easy to skip over.
And am I right? Have you done testing with devices that will gradually increase the light as you're getting closer to your wake up time?
Oh, for waking up, I can never go back to, I have a light that wasn't designed as a smart light, or not designed as a wake up light, but it has you could set an alarm on it. So that comes on, and then I have my watch buzzes, and it makes so much of a difference waking up to those two things versus a blaring alarm. I mean, I hate the light when it blasts on it, but it wakes me up, and it just gets me started. Like, okay, there's no going back. It's time to get up.
Yeah, I have that same thing, because I used to wake up at 3 a.m. for my 4 a.m. shifts, and my light would come on just to simulate morning. And like, even now when I have my Amazon device go off with the alarm, I have my light come on immediately when I tell it my morning routine. And yeah, it helps so much.
Nice. And I think there's one of the sleep tracking apps. I think I think it's on iOS and Android. Yeah. Is it Sleep Cycle?
I think so. That sounds right.
Yeah. There's different apps. And then Apple has Bedtime now. But yeah, I've tested the sleep trackers too. That's a whole other Pandora's box of information and data.
Well, I was going to say one of them, and I think it is Sleep Cycle. I'll have to correct it in the show notes if I'm wrong. But it had, this is before sort of Apple had Bedtime and Scenes and HomeKit and the whole HomeKit thing. And I think even before HomeKit was a thing for Philips Hue, but this sleep tracker had the ability to control your Hue lights to bring them up as it woke you up.
That's cool. And I like that. And I like, if I had a job that didn't rely on me being there at a specific time, there are certain like apps I love that will try to find your best REM sleep and try to wake you up at the right time. I just like wouldn't be able to do that. Otherwise, I would never wake up for work.
Yeah, I've tested stuff out. It's like, I don't want to be woken up. I'm not a morning person. So it's like, okay, well, it's easier to just get up at the same time, unfortunately.
And what role do... So we talked a little bit about sort of things you can do to give yourself better sleep. I know we were saying sort of pre-show, or was it pre-show? Gosh, you see, this is a problem. My mind is going as I'm getting older. I think it was pre-show. We're talking about, you know, things that you can do that will harm your sleep. I know that I am really guilty, and I know Jay is really guilty of this at times, of eating our evening meal later than we should. And yeah, what impact does sort of the time that you consume things, be it food, be it drink, have on your sleep?
Well, I could tell you that the time you consume drinks makes a big difference, about 1 or 2 a.m. Like, because I used to try to have like a little bedtime tea, and I'd have it whatever, 9 o'clock. And then I was like, man, what is this tea? It's only one cup of tea. I'm like, where is this 5 gallons coming from? It gets me like... And so I just cut that out, and it's like, oh, okay, just don't drink any liquids after whatever, or food is the same way. I think part of it is just, you know, our body focusing on rest and recovery, but it's also like getting into that wind down state, whatever it is. That's where it gets tough, because it's like you have to navigate the technology or the behaviors and your use of it, but you also want to navigate that in a way that's a little bit more caring, because I find society says should, or shouldn't, and like you're doing it wrong. And that's not really helpful. It's like, oh, but yeah, no wonder you can't sleep. You had a late snack. That's why. And it's like, okay, but that just makes me feel bad about my behavior, where it's like, oh, what if you tried this? Like empowering people to make choices And say, and the other side of it is reminding yourself, oh, this is nice. Like not getting up three times to visit the WC. Oh, this is pretty nice. I didn't drink the tea and I didn't have to pee. Like
I think that's that should be a poster. Don't drink the tea if you don't want to pee.
Yeah.
Oh.
That would be a perfect show title, but I know you already have one.
Oh, no, we can make that the show title. I mean, I don't know what sort of reaction that'll get from people, but yeah.
But yeah, it's about it is about like finding a way. And I think it's also can be confusing to say, hey, you want to prioritize your sleep. But again, not from a perspective of like forcing a round peg into a square hole, but saying, hey, what can we do to make this wind down routine or bedtime more pleasurable? Like, what can we do that we look forward to? And that's really what I think the goal of Sleep With Me is to just be one piece in people's bedtime routine that they say, I strive that people are like, I can't wait to listen to the podcast. But the reality is they're like, well, at least I got that podcast to listen to. It could be worse. And that's like better than what it is for a lot of us that can't sleep, which is like, oh my gosh, it's going to be, I know I'm going to go through the same thing again. Like lately, I've been dreading bedtime because I've been waking up so early, and it's just like every time I get ready for bed, that anxiety's there. Like, oh man, am I going to wake up again at 4:15 and be wide awake? And then it's okay. What else can I try? But again, from a concerned parent or friend standpoint.
Well, that was always one thing. I didn't want to go to bed at like 8 because that was just like I want to do so many other things, and I want to watch the latest YouTube video about the proper way to put Legos into a toaster.
Yeah. Sorry, there are YouTube videos about that.
Yep. I have some interesting ones.
And this is why I don't like YouTube.
I was just thinking, like, I don't want to see the YouTube comments section on that video. Like, that would just depress me, make me lose hope in all of humanity.
I put 45 Legos into my toaster. It is now broken. You owe me a toaster.
And like I would watch those videos, and it would just keep me up and up and up and up. But when I put on the podcast, I know I sound like a fangirl for the podcast, but I really, it gets me to at least something that I, as you said, I enjoy and I like doing. And as you said, it makes sleep fun. And one other thing that I think people don't realize I have one is the technology present in mattresses nowadays, that like even like mattresses, we think of it as like this thing that we sleep on, but they've changed the technology so much. Like I did not believe how much a Casper mattress worked, and we're not sponsored by Casper, but
Jay, we're not sponsored by anyone. Sorry.
And like I never realized how the technology of it really would impact my sleep. And then I think I heard you talk about it on Sleep With Me. So I bought one, and that changed my sleep. I mean, like it's interesting the technology that they're still finding to innovate sleep. I mean, people have slept on mattresses for millions of years, and it's interesting now.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of investment in it. It's like, and mattresses are one of those things you don't notice until you like are sleeping on something else, and then you're like, then you come back and you're like, oh, this bed is terrible. Or someone points it out to you, like, is that mattress really comfortable? But yeah, now I think we're slowly going to see the change of mattresses, at least in the next few years, become where the technology is embedded in the mattresses, the sleep sensors, the ability to cool and heat up depending on your preference or your partner's preference. It's not, there's a couple companies doing it now. But I think it's a way, I mean, similar to like the iPhone launch of like, hey, we can offer you this, this, and this for this much more money, and it'll do this much more stuff. Or you could have a more basic version that doesn't have the technology embedded in it. But even the technology, like as they look at different foams and they just get feedback, just like making a podcast, hey, I don't like this, or this didn't work, or this, I'm too hot. They're able to, I think, make things a little bit more customizable for people as well.
Because not everybody, you know, not everybody's bodies react the same to heat and I think that's really important. You know, we talk about Casper, and of course that's what mattress we all think about. But there's so many great options now. I will be honest, I just have a bog standard mattress. It's comfortable enough, but yeah, I've always wanted to get something like a Casper, or I think there's the Emma, or there's all sorts of options out there. I guess, because Jay, you've got a Casper.
Yes.
So did you generally find a huge difference in quality of sleep?
Absolutely. Because like I don't like the firm or too squishy. It really did feel to me like it supported my body. It let me just relax into the bed, and I was impressed that the technology wasn't just some gimmick that they put out there to get a bunch of podcasters to promote their podcast or to promote their product.
I mean, I think the other cool thing is that most of the mattress companies now, they ship them right to your door. I mean, that's like a huge difference. Like, like I can't tell you how many, like I used to tie mattresses on cars for people. And it's like, okay, don't go over 55 miles. How many miles do you have to go? Because this thing is going to start flapping in the wind. The idea that it could come to your door in a box is so much better than, you know, risking an airborne mattress.
Know that it will come out of that box so fast. I opened it, and literally my entire bedroom was full of this mattress. I should have put it on my bed before. And also interesting, like you both have mentioned, like different types. These companies are now starting to personalize the mattresses for each of us, and like they're asking you, what is your preference? What do you like? And like that's something that they've added into the Caspers and I think Helix, all the different mattresses since. And it's I like the more personalized approach, that it's not a one size fits all. I mean, same with sleep technology. It's not one size will fit everybody.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the most important thing in the end is like everybody has a different preference. And while you can't make one for every single different preference at this point, I mean, maybe in 15 years, it'll be 3D printing mattresses. And you just like put in all your specs and they go down to the 3D printer and pick it up.
Love it.
Like Drew, I told one of my friends about one of my dear friends about your podcast, and he told me that it kept him up all night. Yes, because
yeah. Like everybody's always surprised, but if you could see the emails I get, like you would cry. Like it's like I'm like, man, whoa. Like it pushes some people in the exact opposite direction of sleep into a white hot rage, the show.
Yeah. He was like, get to the point, Drew, get to the point. And I'm like, you've missed the point of the podcast.
Yeah. I got one review that was like very, very long one time. And it was picking apart my analysis of a Star Trek, The Next Generation episode that was about a spaceship that crashed into the sun or something where someone died. And someone was like, by the way, like I changed it to people driving too fast or something. And the person was so mad. And I was like, OK, I think you missed the point. No one wants to listen to about a guy crashing into a sun and burning alive on a sleep podcast.
Out of interest, what episode was that? I'm really curious now. I'm going to guess it was.
It was the one where Wesley went to the academy, and then he got in. Like there was all the cool kids from the academy, and he joined the racing team.
First duty.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a great episode. And fun fact I'm a big Star Trek fan. Fun fact for Star Trek fans: the cadet who actually was, you know, blamed and responsible was played by Robert Duncan McNeil. And the idea originally that character was going to be in Voyager, still played by Robert Duncan McNeil, but not Tom Paris, if that makes any sense to anybody. But that sort of thing, that would probably keep me awake about, oh, I want it no more.
Right.
But, you know, different things will work for different people. I love the idea of... now, I will be honest, I've not listened. I've not tried falling asleep. I've not tried to sleep with you yet, Drew.
Yeah. We should put it on your to-do list.
Yes. But, sorry. I'm sorry, that was a terrible pun. Now, you know, one of the things, you know, they always say you should change your mattress every so often. I guess that advice holds, but is it probably worth also just saying, if you're having sleep problems, consider changing your mattress ahead of that time. If it's actually causing you problems, make the investment. I mean, if you can afford it, I know not everyone can afford, you know, a new mattress. And hopefully that will be something that as technology evolves to make it easier, they will come down in price. But what about things like, I mean, this is getting so, we think of technology as things with circuits, but again, you know, pillows and bedding. Some people, for example, find a weighted blanket helps them sleep. What other physical things, and I'm going to be careful how I phrase this, in the bedroom can help you sleep?
Well, they say only use the bed. They say if you're getting in bed, the only things to use the bed for are sleep and the other thing you may need backup tools for. But for this situation, I think it is. It's tough because you don't want to start buying pillows because of expense or just waste. So that is maybe a word of mouth thing. And there are so many pillows. I sleep with four pillows, like two that are soft and smushy and two that are more supportive. And then weighted blankets, I have a weighted comforter. And again, it's hard to know if it's for everybody, but for me, it is the greatest thing I've ever gotten because I sleep really hot. And so having a lot of blankets on me is not, it would be too constrictive, but having the weighted comforter, it feels like for me, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, it feels like when you go to the dentist and they put that lead thing on you. But for me, it feels like I'm in like a medieval movie when they pile thousands of pelts on you. It just feels like you have so much on you. It is comforting. But again, it's not for everybody. And that's the hardest thing to test. I think another thing we're going to see is a cheaper way to test is like pillows or hotels are starting to have like a pillow menu or different mattresses or different things like that. And that's would be a great way to like test stuff out. Like maybe at some point, some of the hotel chains will partner with some of these bedding companies and make it a little bit more of a branded experience, not in a negative way, but be like, hey, we're working with this company. You could try all eight of their pillows. Which ones do you want? Or you could have them all in your room or whatever.
I saw that with one of Disney's latest cruise ships, the Wish. They have a pillow menu in some of their more expensive staterooms. And yeah, I'm like, that's a smart idea. That way you help people sleep better.
I think it might be Premier Inn here in the UK who have a pillow menu, because you know the idea is that a Premier Inn, or indeed the budget alternative, is a, you know, typically it's not a place that you are going for a holiday. You are going because you need a place to sleep. You know, you might be, for example, staying at a Travelodge or a Premier Inn near the airport. You've got an early flight. You want a good night's sleep. And it's so important to get that right sleep. So I love that idea of a pillow menu, though. Do they charge like a corkage fee on the pillow? That's a terrible joke.
Maybe that could be my retirement, is like a pillow, like a sommelier, your pillow A, pillowier. This pillow is made of the finest shredded foam.
I was thinking of something like talking like I can summon a type of voice. So I think one thing, not to like pivot away from sleep tech, but one thing that I also find fascinating is that your podcast, it has a niche, and that like podcasting opened it up to a huge audience where you don't have to be everything to everybody, but you know your niche and you know who benefits from your podcast. And it's just really cool how the medium of podcasting allowed you to begin this.
Yeah, for sure. And it was actually influenced by the decline of radio in the U.S. too, a little bit. Like, so when I was a kid and I couldn't sleep, I would bring a radio in my room and listen to it. And at that time, it was a little bit more diverse what you could find on the radio in the U.S. Like, and there was a little bit of late night comedy. And so I could listen to that and it would help me fall asleep. But then as time went on, it became less and less diversity of what you could hear on the radio in the U.S. It just was a very few standard formats. And I also always like, man, how come there isn't more interesting stuff that's a little bit, I don't know, because I always had driving jobs and I would get so frustrated because it's like, okay, there's just not much to listen to before it gets repetitive, or you're listening to politics or the news and you're getting irritated. And even then it's only two choices. So those kind of things were always sitting in my mind. And when I first started listening to podcasts, back when you had to go to a website and download them, and I would put them on a mini disc player and listen to them, I was like, holy cow. Like, even back then, there was niche podcasts. Like, I remember listening to this one where it was like five people talking about theme parks. And I was like, I can't believe this, like, that I'm just getting to listen into this conversation. It's so, I don't know, it's just so different than what you could tune in and listen to on the radio. And that's when I was kind of like, how come there isn't like a weird podcast for someone to talk to go to sleep? And my brain was like, because that's a terrible idea. Like, no one would listen to it. That's embarrassing. And the idea kept coming up for years. I think one of my siblings found a MP3 and they were like, I think this is an early episode of Sleep With Me. It was from like 2007 or something. And the podcast didn't come out till 2013 because I kept being like, no, that's a bad idea. But even, you know, there wasn't a lot of sleep. I don't know if there was any other sleep podcasts at the time when I started, but now there's tons. And in some sense, part of me is like, oh dear, like there's too much competition or something. But in another sense, it's like there's subgenres in sleep podcasting and there's a lot of different styles of whispering or different voices or different styles. And that's the strength of podcasting. It's like, oh, if you loathe Sleep With Me, maybe one of these other shows will help you out.
That's what I find incredible. Like, you are a man and a like not like a you have a studio you've built for the podcast, but like you're not like somebody on NPR making this, but yet you're doing an amazing thing and how you've come. And I love, there was nobody gatekeeping you from starting this. And I love that. I love seeing you succeeding. And that's always been why I love the democratization of podcasting, the ability to do what you're interested in, what find that problem, that missing podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like what I love about podcasting too. There is no, at this point that we're recording this, a central repository of podcasts. It's kind of like you can find them in tons of different places and 100% free. And the platforms don't pay us, but we don't pay the platforms either. But we keep them in a place where we have kind of control of how the audio is stored versus all the video being stored on YouTube and you're going through YouTube, where it gives you a little bit more freedom. And anybody can put out a podcast about anything and you could keep at it. And you may find an audience, you may not find an audience, or you may say, hey, let me try this. I did this show. Let me try another show. I really like doing this. But I mean, even if you find an audience of five people, like a fish food review podcast, it's like, oh, well, we only review organic fish food. And that's all we do. I'm sure there's one. I guarantee there's a podcast already that exists and that does that. And that there's like an audience for that. It may not be gigantic, but that could be fulfilling in such a powerful way that where before it'd be like, oh, no, you got to get a job at NPR or you got to do that. Or you just tell a story to your friend. Keep your weird stories to yourself, like for your camping trips. That's what was my podcast before the podcasting.
Like, that's how I started in the podcast. I just got a group of friends together. We started talking about World of Warcraft and we just started, and I started getting into it, and I then met James in a host site because we were both podcasting, and now I'm working with James on Crosswires, and it's that finding people that with similar interests,
right?
Like I keep shouting out Squadcast. Now Squadcast are not the only recording platform. If it's not right here for you, fair enough. And you know, I always say that. But one of the things I love about Squadcast is the community they've built around it. And a good mix of our guests have come from either Squadcast Slack, the RMC Retro Discord. Like, that's becoming far too much of a source of guests. I'm going to have to start paying Neil royalties. But then, of course, because myself and Jay have now partnered on this show, you know, we've now got access to all of Jay's wonderful contacts, like yourself, Drew. And there's so much choice, not only in the types of podcasts. The other thing is, of course, is you made a really good point. There's not one central repository of podcasts, and there's not one you must use this app to listen to podcasts. I'm a huge Overcast fan because that's what I've used for a long time. But similarly, I'm also, you know, a big fan of Good Pods because of what the work they're doing to make podcasts more discoverable. And, you know, I think there's just so much scope out there. And yeah, I love having people like yourself on the show, Drew, who are doing something different in podcasting and know their field. And then can come and, you know, we can get you on the show and relate, you know, what you're talking about. And I love it.
to bring it full loop, and I think it underlies a point that it really is about people and connection. So I love Squadcast. I don't even do an interview podcast because I had met the founders of Squadcast and Ariel that runs their community through like podcasting events locally. I met them. And so we would have lunch or breakfast, and we still do. And we just talk about, hey, what's going on? Or what did you see? And just that level of like, staying connected, I think, is one of the things of podcasting that's different too. It's like driven by curiosity. And because there isn't a central main thing, it's like, oh, do you know anything about this? Or do you know how to do this? And it's like, no, maybe go on this Discord or go on the Slack and ask or email them. Do you know anybody with a fish food podcast? No, but I know someone with a chameleon food podcast. Oh, okay. Maybe they know somebody.
That's actually one thing that I've admired about you too, is you have a section of your site that if Sleep With Me podcast is not for somebody, you are a podcast that are like mine that are, I'm like, I've admired that about you, that you've not seen it as a competition, but you've seen it as like people that are fellow colleagues in the space.
Yeah, you know what's cool? And this is only podcast people would get this. It's surprising. There's like new sleep podcasters that will email me and they'll say, hey, do you mind putting me on there? Have you listened to my show? Because there's like a new show, like no other business is going to be like, hey, I'm your competitor. I'm starting up something similar. Could you put it? But with podcasting, I was like, yeah, let me listen. There's a new show called, it's a baseball broadcast. It's fictional. And it's like they're pretending to do a baseball game play by play. And I can't, like I told the person, and they're all anonymous. So I was like, I make a podcast. I cannot believe this. Like the amount of work you must be putting into your show makes my mind melt because it's all written. It has sound effects. Wow. And I was like, of course I'll put it on there. I was like, I'll put it on there in a heartbeat. But just to be in a business or a hobby business where people feel the freedom to be like, hey, I noticed this. Is that okay? Like, that's pretty cool because, I mean, the tech companies be like, hey, do you mind putting an ad for this? Yeah, it'd be like, I was watching YouTube this morning. There's tons of Apple ads, but I'm sure those weren't free. Like, like, hey, yeah, we know people watch YouTube on your phones. Let's work together.
Yeah. And, you know, you've hit me now. Like, you know, we are one in many, many, many tech podcasts. And I think one of the things that myself and Jay are really striving to do is not just make this another tech news roundup show. We want to do something unique. But you know what? There's probably other shows like ours that, you know what? I would love to get people involved. You know what? We've had, you know, Crazy Ken and everyone, so many people on our show. Who, you know, if we think about the YouTube content that we might put out, if we were being in that sort of spirit, they could be competitors. But no, there's so much room for creativity. It's one of the most unique forms of, and I'm going to, you know, storytelling and journalism. I really think podcasting is a form of journalism.
Absolutely. I remember this guy years ago, back before we did podcasting, he was Amani, and what he would do is he would go around in his local community telling the stories that the media would not talk about, the issue with, like, he specifically was focused on like issues of race in his town. And what was cool is he was another outlet for people, and I think I saw him recently. He's like, he now has this huge conglomerate. I'm like, I love that he went from this person with a flip video camera to now someone with this huge conglomerate doing the same thing he loved.
Absolutely. So, Drew, if we somehow pivot back to sleep and sleep technology, although I'm sure some of this discussion might have sent some people to sleep, not because of anything we said today, anyway. If we loop back to maybe quickly some of the sleep apps and stuff, do you have any personal recommendations that you'd make for people for maybe apps to either say, yeah, try this one, or absolutely think, no, avoid this at all costs?
Let's see. I mean, let me take a look at my phone. I mean, I definitely like one of the cool things is like trying out different podcast apps, right? Is I have, I think, like five or six on my phone. And I mean, I have three that I use for different genres of podcasts, but mostly so I could stay up to date. It's like, oh, I use Overcast for what I'm running. I use Pocket Cast for like Patreon stuff. And then I try out, I'm trying out iCatcher, I think, and then the other big podcast apps. One of the apps, not to talk about competition for Sleep With Me, that's not even a podcast, but there's an app called My Noise that I absolutely love and that a lot of listeners love. It the app is free and it comes with some, it's a kind of a freemium app. It comes with some free things and then you can download and buy other sounds, but it kind of has like a little soundboard. For example, there's, I don't know if they have, they don't have branded content, but I guarantee there's like a Star Trek style one where you could have like the different sound effects for the show running, but it's mostly made for background noise and the app works as background. It doesn't hog the audio channel on your phone. So you could also listen to a podcast or something while you're using My Noise. Oh. But when I go to a hotel, and then you could layer the My Noises. So like if you, it might only be in the premium thing, but it's like, oh, you could have a Star Trek soundboard. Then you could have a Pink Noise soundboard. Then you could have an Undersea soundboard and you could moderate all the different levels of audio. I don't know. I find it fun to play with that. Probably like, oh, let me get this setting right before I go to sleep. And then it's 45 minutes later. I'm still awake playing with my phone. But yeah, My Noise is a real, it's really fun too.
I love that. I love that innovation. Cause it's like, I remember when I was, when I went to a convention, one of my friends had a noise canceling headphone on just to move away the noise. And like, and I think it'd be interesting to have that work with like some of the future noise canceling technology. And so instead of canceling all the noise, change it out. Like I know Apple has the AirPods Pro with their noise canceling and the transparency mode. It'd be cool to integrate that further.
Maybe you could get the friends. You won't smoke any cigarettes today. You won't smoke any. That's the noise cancellation. No cigarettes today.
You're a strong, confident woman. Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, so many things wrong with that particular scene when we look at it now, but still hilariously funny because of Chandler's reaction. The whole, yeah. But, you know, you could also have like maybe bits from your favorite TV show, little like lines. I mean, you talked about Star Trek. There are generally on YouTube like ambient warp core noise 12 hours. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'd play that. I'd listen to the warp core going for 12 hours.
I've done a similar. I've put on loops like that on YouTube just because I needed something while working, but I didn't want to be engaged in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, another one, this is videos, is there's a lot of, especially in I think in Northern Europe and in Asia, the trains have cameras on the front of them, and they'll broadcast 24/7, and those are the most amazing, like I could put that on all day, like a train running through the mountains or Thailand, it's just running and stopping at the stations. It's so soothing.
The problem is, if you did that with UK trains, you'd have an announcement every 5 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize. The train is delayed again. We have something very tiny on the line. We can't get any further. Virgin Trains apologizes for the delay, but we won't do anything about it. But I do know exactly what you mean. Those like driver's eye views and all that wonderful stuff. Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Maybe you could download a video of a train moving for when your train stops moving. Like, it'd be like, don't worry, we're moving. It only feels like we're stopped.
Actually, I'd love that. I'd love that if they did that as train announcements to give you reassurance. We're now going to play sounds of an actual moving train.
Yeah. And what they can do is they can change the windows to be moving video while you're stopped, like they did at the I've been to the Hogwarts Wizarding World at Universal, and I've done the train between, and literally it's just train pulling it between two areas, but the video that they play alongside outside the windows is just moving video as if you're heading through England. So, well, Drew, I just want to thank you so much for being here, and I had such a great time, and I know James had a great time too talking with you. And for any individuals who would love to get who would love to listen to your podcast, and I highly recommend it. Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, first, thanks for having me on. This was a blast, and I always love these kind of conversations. And it's like, oh, okay, now we're talking about this. Is like Sleep With Me is like this, but only at this voice. It would have been going, but yeah, you can find Sleep With Me if in your podcast app of choice. Just type in Sleep With Me, and it'll come up. Or if you're less familiar, you could go to sleepwithmepodcast.com and go from there.
I do have to warn people, make sure you're listening to the right podcast. There was somebody trying to, for a little while on Spotify, having their podcast, and I'm like, this is not true at all. This is actually...
Yeah, there are sometimes with the smart speakers. It actually, I had a nice, there was an adult-themed podcast that had a similar title, and I sent them a message, and they were, I was like, you got to take it out of your name, and they were happy to do so.
That might have been the one, too. I won't say anymore.
I think, but just be careful.
So Sleep With Me podcast, yeah.
And yeah, so with that, I want to say that thank you, Drew, and thank you, James, for letting me be in the host seat and causing chaos. And
you've done honestly, I'm not just saying this, you've done a great job. And Drew, I will echo Jay's comments. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I add Jay's recommendation, go and check out Sleep With Me podcast. And yeah, Jay, wrap it up.
So with that, everybody, you can find us. James, are we still doing the outro on here?
Yes, because we haven't recorded the new one yet. But yes, gotcha. Yes, let's do that.
Well, I've been Jay of Crossed Wires, and you can find us at crossedwires.net. You can find the show on Crossed Wires on any of the places where you get your podcast. You can find us on Twitter at crosswiresmg. And until next time, keep crossing those wires. I did not listen to the outro of the show. I admit that. I did listen to it, but I forgot it.
Yeah, because you know all this stuff, so you probably stopped listening at the outro. All right, let me. I'm taking back control, folks. Make sure you email podcast@crosswires.net with your feedback. If you're a good pods listener, why not start a discussion there? And of course, make sure you comment on the post at crosswires.net. Until next time, we're not using that, by the way. Keep crossing those wires is not going to be our catchphrase. That's not happening. I'm executively vetoing that.
That's okay.
All right. Thank you, everyone.